shorter this morning, and we might preach on even shorter than that. But the verses are Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I trust the Lord will take these verses, prepare our hearts, and I'm trusting Him to guide us and lead us as far as we go this morning in this particular portion. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this Lord's Day and each one who could come today. Yes, each one who made the choice. We praise you, and I trust that you are going to be glorified in the life of each one who chose to be here. I trust that your Spirit will continue to bless our hearts through that which this worship service has had planned in it. How we thank you for the music, the songs that we have heard sung, listened to. How we thank you for the passage of Scripture we could read. How we thank you for the opportunity to look into your Word, and I trust that your Spirit will instruct us, teach us, minister to our hearts, feed us, feed our hungry hearts. And I pray, Lord, that all the glory would be yours. We do thank you that some that have been sick recently are improved enough to be here today. We praise you for that. We realize that there are still some that are not with us, that are still not 100% with their health. Restore them as you see fit. We pray, Father, for our country. Our hearts are heavy as we think of the direction our country is heading, the kind of laws and proposals that have been put forth, things passed in recent months that are ungodly, abominable, sinful. We ask, Lord, that you would work in our president's heart and those that counsel and advise him, from him on down in our nation. We pray, Lord, there would be a realization of right and wrong. And we pray, Lord, that there might be some changes made according to your will. Regardless of what happens, I pray that you would help us as your children to stand for the truth. Keep us from compromising the truth for convenience sake. Keep us from compromising for fear's sake. But Father, when your truth has been opposed, May we stand for your truth, and may you get the glory in our testimonies. So we pray for our nation, Lord, your will. We just wonder how come you keep blessing us the way you do, when we as a nation have done so many things to shut you out. We pray that now our hearts would be quiet before you. Speak to us, teach us. We pray even for those that are laboring with the youngsters this morning, that you would guide them as they tell the story of the Lord Jesus. May these young ones understand the truth, and in your time and in your way, that you would bring them to faith in you, Lord. What a joy that will be. We thank you now in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Open your Bibles, if you would, again, to Galatians. If you were with us last Sunday, you know that we were in chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, and we considered the way of victory. What is the way of victory? What did we see in this passage of Scripture? We saw the way of victory is living by the Spirit. We saw it as walking in the Spirit. And we saw it as yielded to the Spirit. Paul emphasized those truths in those verses 16 through 26. And as we think about the effect of the Spirit and what His effect is to have on the life of a believer, we saw starting in verse 22 that when one is yielded to the Spirit, he can and will produce his fruit. This ninefold cluster, as we saw, it's not individual fruits like a grape and an orange and a grapefruit and an apple, but a cluster like a cluster of grapes. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. As Paul continued in chapter 6, he instructed his readers in a spiritual practice seldom seen. You say, Pastor, your message title in the book, or in the bulletin, got my curiosity. What is this practice never seen, or seldom, I guess I should say. I'm not saying it's never seen, but seldom, rarely. What is it? Well, let's examine these verses before us, and we notice, first of all, his audience in verse 1 is whom? Brethren. If you have been conscious of it throughout his epistle in Galatians, we find that in every chapter except the second chapter, he makes reference to brethren. Now, who are those? Well, that clues us in. That tells us that Paul is writing to those in Christ, that he has been concerned about because of the Judaizers who had caused trouble among these individuals that Paul had led to the Lord and had encouraged them in getting churches started. They were family members in Christ. I don't know whether you take that term lightly or not. Do you ever think of the fact that in Christ we're a family? If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, I'd like you to do something for me. I'd like you to look around the auditorium right now. Look around. Do you know who you are looking at? You're looking at whom? Family members in Christ. You say, you mean that funny looking one? Yeah, that old guy that's sitting up or that's standing up on the pulpit, up on the platform there with no hair. Yeah, even him. I know the Lord is my own personal Savior, and you're stuck with me if you know the Lord as your Savior. And so we start out here in verse 1, and I don't want us to just zip right on through that, but I have taken the time for us to just acknowledge the fact that the ones that he is addressing here are these that he has been so concerned about that he wrote this 6th chapter epistle to them to warn them against the effects of the Judaizers, the law keepers, who had come in and were confusing them and telling them, you need to, it's good you're saved, glad to hear that, praise the Lord, but you need to also embrace the law of Moses. And if you're a man, you ought to be circumcised. And you ought to hang on to other portions of the law of Moses. That's not the gospel that Paul had preached. And that's not the message of the gospel, beloved. It's by grace through faith in Christ plus what?
Nothing.
That's our salvation. And so, as we anticipate this, I wanted to call your attention to his audience, brethren. So, having said that, and having you humor me a few moments ago and look around in here, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, is this message today for you, yes or no? You say, well, I'm a sister. Well, maybe you're a sister, but you're a family member. It's not going to get any more applicable than we're looking at it here today. I mean, this is to us. We came to church this morning to hear a message for us as children of God. Well, having said that, then I want you to notice, for you note takers, you got 6 points today. Boy, you're going to really be able to write stuff today. Sometimes it's only a couple or 3 points, but today you got 6 of them. I hope you got enough paper. Point number 1 for you note takers, I give you the word circumstance. The circumstance. What is the circumstance or the situation or the case If a man be overtaken in a fault, that's the circumstance. If a man be overtaken in a fault, as we think about this circumstance, we would understand that what Paul is writing, you know, with the word if, we would say, maybe it will and what? Maybe it won't. But what the circumstance Paul is talking about here is which one? It's happened. It's happened. And this one has been overtaken in a fault. This word overtaken, we're told, means caught, or to be, or to take one by surprise. Catch that one off guard. That's one of the meanings that Bible teachers give us to the word overtake. That, well, the word, did you just, you know, he wasn't really paying any attention, and all of a sudden, boom, it blindsided him and caught him off guard, and the next thing you know, he was involved in something. And that's one of the common definitions of it. Or, here's another one that some scholars prefer. If a man be overtaken with a fault, others suggest that it means that this individual, you're talking about a person that was caught red-handed by someone in the middle of committing and living in sin. They were overtaken in a fault. Well, you say, so which one is it, Pastor? I prefer the first. Some of the references that I have in my Bible study that I study to prepare these messages, I can think of one in particular. He preferred the second. Maybe it doesn't make any difference when we stop and think about what is the truth that Paul is addressing here. He's addressing that someone has been caught some way or another in what?
Sin.
Was it he was just being careless and didn't see it coming? Or was here someone walking according to the flesh and someone caught him in it? The whole point is, someone has sin. And so Paul addresses that circumstance. Fault, what is fault? That is a sin or a misdeed or a deviation from the truth. Sin, misdeed, or deviation from the truth. So we've seen the circumstance that he's talking to the brethren, you and me, about. And so as we sit here and we think, okay, we've been reminded that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and the first circumstance that we need to be thinking about is, what if some fellow believer or sister believer gets caught up, overtaken in some sin. Number two, let's see who the charged are. The charged, in other words, who's he addressing? Who's he talking to? Do you see it? Ye which are what? Spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. Who qualifies as spiritual? We go back to chapter 5. And we would answer in verse 25. It would be those who are living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit in chapter 5, 25. Though that one would qualify as a spiritual one, wouldn't they? Sure they would. It would be someone who is manifesting the Spirit's fruit. Chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We read that ninefold cluster of fruit a moment ago. They would qualify, wouldn't you? Paul must be writing to get that person's attention. Ye which are spiritual. I know what some of you are thinking. And in fact, I wrote it right down here. I could never qualify. Right? I certainly wouldn't call myself spiritual, Pastor. It's not for the promotion of the flesh. It's for the glory of whom? It's for the glory of God. You see, truthfulness is not necessarily pride. We like to respond to something like what Paul is saying as we look at this verse, and you just say, you know, Pastor, I look at this passage here in Galatians chapter 6, and you know, every time I read it, I just tell myself, boy, that doesn't concern me, because I certainly couldn't call myself spiritual, and I wouldn't call myself spiritual. Sometimes we do that to the point we almost like to swing the pendulum which direction? Remember what I said? Truthfulness is not necessarily pride. If you were in Sunday school, I had just had a big old smile on my face as John took us to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. John, did you look at my notes yesterday?
I had a little peek.
You had a little peek. And I thought, Holy Spirit, here we are again. We talk about this. Beloved, there is someone behind this far bigger than this old bald guy. This is the Lord's house. This is a work that is dedicated to the glory of the Lord. And it's the purpose of those in leadership that we honor our Lord. And when we do that, the Lord enables us to do our jobs well. And so he prompts the Sunday school teacher to make reference to the same truth. Not only is it John, but sometimes over Sunday dinner, my wife and I will talk about how that you won't believe what the Sunday school lesson was for my kids this morning. It's knocking on the same door. Well, what's that have to do with ye which are spiritual? Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Yes, let's stop right here. If you're walking in the flesh, don't you dare say, "Well, I qualify, I'm a spiritual person," but you're walking according to the flesh. And Paul said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But don't stop there. He goes on and he says, here's what you do. Here's how you think, though. You think what? Soberly, according as every man has dealt to, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. At any point in the life of the Christian, from the moment of his salvation to his glorification, that Christian is either spiritual, walking in the Spirit, or fleshly, walking in the deeds of the flesh. So where are you this morning? January 29, 2023. We've already established this message we're hearing today about a practice seldom seen is for you and me, and we've already described the circumstance. We're going to be considering someone who has gotten caught up in sin, and the ones that ought to be charged with being concerned about this are the spiritual ones. Is anybody listening? Paul now goes on, and he gives us number three, the challenge. We've looked at the circumstance. We know who's charged, the spiritual ones. Now, here is the challenge. Go back to verse 1. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. The sinning one has not ceased to be a Christian, but he or she has lost their fellowship with the Lord and other believers because they have been what? They have been overtaken in a fault, and they're down, and they're out of fellowship. Their life is not useful for the Lord right now. Their testimony is marred. And Paul says, brethren, you that are spiritual, you've got a job to do. You need to restore that fallen believer, whoever he or she is. restore. What's that mean? It means to mend. It means to bring back into a right way. We're told that specifically this particular word has reference to a joint or a bone which can get broken and needs to be what? Reset, or a joint that gets dislocated and needs to be what? Put back in location once. That's behind this word that Paul is preaching to you spiritual ones. This is a job you and I have to do with regards to someone who has, excuse me, stubbed their toe, stumbled, fallen into some sin, and rather than just standing back and criticizing, oh, I knew it was just a matter of time before that happened to him. I'm surprised it took her that long. Rather than what, I hate to say this, most times happens. We're supposed to be doing what with this one? Anything and everything we can. As another brother or sister in Christ, with regard to one who has stumbled, fallen, we who are spiritual have a responsibility. This is the challenge that has been given to us. I know what some of you spiritual ones are thinking. I pray for them, man. I pray for them. That's how I'll restore them. Sounds like Paul says, this, you may not have seen this happen very often. This practice may seldom be practiced, but here's what the Holy Spirit had me write, Paul said. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you come across another believer who has been overtaken with a fault, rather it caught them off guard and they yielded to temptation, or whether they knew what they were doing and someone caught them red-handed, he says, you that are spiritual have a responsibility toward them. And it's not just, I'll pray for you. The responsibility is, Paul said, you're supposed to restore that one. You're supposed to restore that one. Mend. Help bring that back, that one back to a right way. Help reset the joint, the bone, whatever. And you do it in what way? Paul said here, in the spirit of what? Meekness. What's meekness? Humility. Gentleness. Mildness. It's not showing up at their door and chewing their head off. You should have known this is what was going to happen to you. But it's with humility, gentleness, mildness. With number four, you note takers, can you guess what C word? The word is caution. With caution. Because he says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Not with the pointed finger, not with the nose in the air, not with any sense of pride, but considering yourself. Being honest with yourself. And if you're honest with yourself, what are you going to be admitting to yourself at that particular time? The same thing could what? Happen to me. That's honest. Oh, but you say, I'd never do something dumb like that. I guarantee you, you've done dumber. Every one of us. We ought to get the dumb prize at different times in our life. Because we all go astray. And we all let our guards down. And we find ourselves all. I can't believe I did that. Yep. And the word of caution that Paul gives to these who are charged, you that are spiritual, be careful that the same thing doesn't happen to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul put it this way in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that standeth take heed lest what? He fall. There's our warning. There's our caution. This whole section here, you which are spiritual, you need to get involved in a brother or sister's life who is in trouble and they've fallen. Well, you know, I have trouble calling myself spiritual. Well, if you are, do you have trouble being honest with yourself? If you're not, don't call yourself spiritual. But don't do that because of false pride. Well, I wouldn't. William MacDonald, in his commentary, made some interesting comments about this verse. And let me just quote. He says, this verse raises an interesting question. If a man is truly spiritual, would he admit it? Are not spiritual people most conscious of their shortcomings? Who then would do the work of restoration if doing so marked him as a spiritual man? Would it not betray a lack of modesty? Well, what's somebody going to think of me if I go up to her or him and offer my help to try to restore them and get back? What's everybody else going to be thinking about me? The answer is this. A truly spiritual man will never boast of his condition, but he will have the tender heart of a shepherd making him one to restore the transgressor. He will not act in the spirit of pride or superiority, but in a spirit of gentleness, meekness, remembering that it might also happen to him. That's some pretty good words of caution to us, beloved. Having seen the word of caution that we need to consider ourselves, don't be standing back and pointing fingers and chewing them out behind their back, but consider it might happen to you. He now continues by giving us number 5, the connection. The connection in verse 5. What's the connection? Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. Wiersbe had this to say. He says, one another is one of the key phrases in the Christian's vocabulary. Love one another is found at least a dozen times in the New Testament, along with ones like pray for one another in James 5:16, edify one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, prefer one another, Romans 12:10, use hospitality one to another, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, and many other examples of that. In this section before us, Paul adds another phrase. And what he says is, bear ye one another's burdens. The Spirit-led Christian thinks of others and how he or she can minister to them. Bear ye, what's that word mean? It means to put upon oneself, to take up in order to carry a load. That's why I said what I said a while ago, that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. I'll pray for you. You're not bearing the load. You're not picking it up. You're not coming alongside and helping them with whatever it is they're having struggling carrying. Rather than standing back watching, the spiritual believer will get involved and help that fallen one however they can. See why I titled this a practice seldom seen? Am I talking about something totally foreign this morning? Or am I talking about something, well, Pastor, you're just describing my life all the time. It's just the way I live. I've been most comfortable this morning. You see, the spiritual believer, let me say it again, will get involved helping the fallen one however they can. And in our verse 2, what are we supposed to be getting involved in, beloved? Say it. Someone else's what? Huh? What's the word in 2? bear one another's all burdens. Oh man, I have hard enough time carrying my own. And you mean Paul is telling me that I am supposed to be getting involved as a spiritual believer, spirit-led and yielded believer, and help him or her who's, quite frankly, they've gotten themselves in their own problems. And I'm supposed to help and pick up and shoulder their problems. You read it. That's what it says. Burdens here, we're told, is heaviness or weight or troublesome moral faults. Heaviness, weight, or troublesome moral faults. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul had this to say. He said, "We then that are strong," kind of the same thing, isn't it? In Galatians, he's talking about ye which are what? Spiritual. But here he says, "We that are strong ought to do what? Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Beloved, the Christian life, as John talked about, it's not about us, is it? It's about whom? It's for the Lord. And I do this for Him. And I'm involved for His glory. And we find here this very truth. Now, maybe you remember what we read for our scripture reading this morning, and you remember we read the first five verses, and I said, we'll see how many of those verses we address this morning. This was my plan, to just address two. But as we read verse 5, what did you see show up in verse 5 that we found in verse 2? It's the word what? Huh? Burdens. Burden. Burdens. In light of verse 5, here we see Paul's meaning in verse 2 is that the believers are to assist brethren in carrying loads, but not to take over the whole load themselves. Why not? Because what did Paul say in regard to burdens in verse 5? What? Everyone, there are certain things they're supposed to do themselves. And if you have a study Bible, I know some of them do, they're actually two different words. Burdens in verse 2 is not the same one that's in verse 5. And that's how you reconcile that. Paul is not contradicting himself. There are certain kinds in verse 2, these heavy loads, these weights, these burdens of life. We're supposed to come alongside as spiritual ones, help them. But there are also burdens, responsibilities that you know what only you are responsible to carry. And when we stand before the Lord, who's going to have to give an account of the burdens in verse 5? I'll have to give an account of How did I handle the responsibilities God gave me? Those aren't the kind that Paul is talking about in verse 2. Having said that, number 6, you note takers, you wondered, is he ever going to get there? Yeah, number 6, the completion. The completion. In verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The principle of love is the law of Christ. It's all in the second table included. Chapter 5, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It is the new commandment the Lord gave his disciples in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment that I give you, that you what? Love one another. By this, all will know what? That you are my disciple when you are demonstrating my love. In chapter 5, verse 22, Paul taught us this is a spiritual fruit. The completion of all that Paul has spoken of here in these first 2 verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wouldn't you agree that what Paul talked about is seldom seen, practiced today? Yes or no? I know you don't want to commit yourself, so I know you all. You're a bunch of busters. I know what the answer to that is. We don't see it practiced very often. You say it, you know, Paul, Pastor, what you're talking about, this is quite a passage for me to contemplate and pray about, that the Lord would enable me to properly fulfill it. You've got it. That's how this message is closing. We got a lot to pray about, beloved. We got a lot to think about. And hopefully we won't just buzz over these verses the next time our eyes fall on Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Shall we close in prayer? Father, it's been my desire that you got the glory in these 2 verses this morning. We didn't get very far, but I pray that we got as far as you intended us to. Help us to take home, contemplate, pray about, yield ourselves to your leading, and for your glory someday be practicing. That's our desire, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, in your name.